Originally, this sermon was entitled, enthusiastically entitled, at a worship committee meeting, Getting Over Ourselves. At some point, a more serious outlook prevailed. It was probably me in an earnest mood of some kind. And it was decided that bridging the gaps would be nicer. However, the two titles indicate a certain split personality aspect about my approach to today's subject. The but seriously folks part is about feeling marginalized and about how we sometimes disrespect other people's points of view in our community, especially if these views arise from a belief system that we think we can generalize about and that we feel superior to. It's about not clinging so closely to our subset of Unitarian Universalism, Buddhism, Christianity, humanism, paganism, it doesn't matter, that we identify with it more than with being Unitarian Universalists who embrace each other on our journey. The serious part is about respecting each other even if we disagree, about bridging our belief system gaps, because we know that God with a small g is in us all and that we can love each other. It's about training to have a kind heart under all circumstances. The not quite so seriously part for me, that led us into saying get over ourselves, arises from decades of hearing people cling with often outraged earnestness to their particular philosophy or theology, filled with downright umbrage at real or perceived slights to their point of view. I sometimes feel just plain old out of patience. Understanding that some of you might be offended at your minister being rather less than pastoral about your heartfelt positions, I nonetheless just wish from time to time that we would get over ourselves. We would relax into our beliefs no matter what other people are thinking and quit taking ourselves quite so seriously. The song Unworthy, that first one, that surprised a lot of us. I thought, what is this doing? It takes a blessedly lighthearted, satirical view of how earnestly a lot of us do approach our life. Laughing at ourselves helps us lighten up, although I actually really should learn to meditate correctly and sew and bake and dance and paint and fail and certainly make gazpacho. Now, having expressed my deeply held wish that we could all just lighten up, let me return to the serious part for a bit. The biggest issue of prejudice is one that I know to be true. The most likely way to get disrespected for your religious views in this church is to have a Christian lean. Now, especially if there are any of you new folks who find inspiration in the venerable faith tradition of Jesus of Nazareth, as promulgated by St. Paul, be assured that you won't actually be persecuted. And know also that there are a lot of UU congregations who are less tolerant about Jesus or even God than we are. Now, having said that, I have heard and seen snickers and rolling of eyes when someone in joys and sorrows tells of her daughter's touching experience in a Christian church. When Shauna Geddes, who's now I think 22 or so, gave her coming of age talk, junior high, years ago, she said that she felt nervous, she was raised in this church, nervous about speaking here about her Christian beliefs. And she's one of our kids. Some of us feel that we have permission to curl our lips about all aspects of that tradition, possibly because of still emerging from Christian experiences. One of our members once said, very few of us are running away from our Buddhist past. Now, possibly because we have very real personal wounds and outrage associated with whatever form of Christianity we live with, we feel fine about dismissing it and dismissing it disrespectfully. Let me add that there can be disrespect toward humanists and pagans also. We almost never disrespect the Jews in our midst. It's not quite as pronounced or as self-righteous as toward Christianity. And there can be, and this is probably a whole other sermon, a great deal of disrespect toward people who might differ from the majority on subjects like the death penalty, economic justice, military interventions, and how to address social ills like poverty and jobs. Now, here's what I have to say to all of us who feel it is okay to communicate, even subtly, our disdain for another philosophy. What I have to say is, cut it out. Just stop it right now. We need to catch ourselves as soon as that sense of superiority arises and suppress it. We can say 10 Hail Marys, or we can chant Om, or we can recite the Democratic presidents in our heads. Whatever keeps us from doing that, what we can't do is disrespect the views of others. We are Unitarian Universalists, dedicated to embracing diverse paths towards the good and holy, genuinely opening our hearts to the wisdom that is in all of our friends and acquaintances. It's really simple. Cultivating kind hearts means absolutely no arrogant dismissal of other people. There's more to this whole issue, though. Moving toward an easy, joyful, affectionate, and respectful community requires more than cutting out idols, although it does require that. And here's where the getting over ourselves comes in. Somehow, we simply have to rise above our easily wounded egos and see other people as fallible human beings just like us. Fallible human beings who might make the mistake of disrespecting just as we might. We need to cut each other lots of slack. We need to loosen up our tightly held resentments, knowing that clinging to them is, as the reading told us, like eating rat poison and thinking that the rat will die. We need to quit taking ourselves and our immune systems quite so seriously. There are two ways that I approach this simple but not easy, ever ongoing religious task. There are kind of a micro and a macro. And both of them are vastly helped by regular spiritual practices. I'm talking pretty much every day, because those point us to what children call that attitude of no big deal, which is much lighter than taking ourselves so seriously. The micro involves paying attention as fully as possible to everything. The habit of non-judgmental mindfulness can lead to little epiphanies that make getting over ourselves a little easier. Last Tuesday morning, I was tired from a late master chorale rehearsal and looking forward with fatigue and a bit of dread to a very, very busy week. I felt pretty darn serious about myself and my large, important life and duties, which are, of course, quite large and quite important.
walking back toward the grove.
A little hard to be really serious about yourself if you just put water all over your lap. Okay. Walking back toward the grove for my usual pre-office hours reflection, I glanced back and I saw my footprints on the frosty grass. I noticed that I had walked a kind of snaky line, not straight, and I smiled about that. Clearly, I wasn't doing too well in the linear department, but then I often don't. And then I decided I'd create something. So I walked a great big spiral, very attentively, planting my footsteps in the crunchy white grass. When I got to the middle, I didn't want to wreck it, so I carefully walked back out of it in my footsteps, and then walked on a few more footsteps and turned around. It was really cool. It was a big old mystical spiral in the middle of the grass. Now, it would be gone in an hour or so, and somehow that just made me laugh and feel it. I didn't magically and totally lighten up and become enlightened. The weed was still there, and it did everything it was planning to do. But I was delighted at my unexpected creation, and my heart did, in fact, ease up a little bit, and I wasn't quite so serious about it. It was very micro. But it was helpful. The macro way involves getting a feel for our place in time and space. In a meditation I frequently do, I close my eyes and feel myself and the earth a dot in what is for all human intents and purposes infinite. The lovely blackness of space, spangled with gold and red and blue and green jewels. It's just out there. Monty Python said it way better than I, as Mike reminded me. I'm going to read the Galaxy Song lyrics again. So feel our true place in the universe as we hear these again. Just remember that you're standing on a planet that's evolving and revolving at 900 miles an hour, that's orbiting at 19 miles a second, so it's reckoned, a sun that is the source of all our power. The sun and you and me and all the stars that we can see are moving at a million miles a day in an outer spiral arm at 40,000 miles an hour of the galaxy we call the Milky Way. Our galaxy itself contains 100 billion stars. It's 100,000 light years side to side. It bulges in the middle, 16,000 light years thick, but out by us, just 3,000 light years wide. We're 30,000 light years from galactic central point. We go round every 200 million years, and our galaxy is only one of millions of billions in this amazing and expanding universe. And you may notice that I left off the very end with this assertion that there isn't much intelligent life on Earth. We need humility. We need that kind of humility if we're going to get over ourselves, but we need to get carried away. We also need confidence that humans can be loving and noble, and that we can be together on this little journey of ours, even as we benefit from the cosmic perspective. Once in my drama teaching days, the little theater lights went on the blink the day before dress rehearsal, rending of garments and tearing of hair. I was in an absolute state, fretting and growling and nagging the maintenance staff. After all, what if we didn't have lights for you can't take it with you? The head custodian stopped me in the hall and he said, "Elizabeth, turn a ring around on your hand." He said, "Okay, now repeat after me. This too shall pass. This too shall pass." At that moment, I might not always have gotten it, but then I did something flip. And I got over myself for that particular event. I laughed and I thought, okay, the worst thing that will happen is we'll have a production with
only the workplace. Worst things have happened in this world. Perspective is a very good thing when we are committed to getting over ourselves. A perspective about our place in the universe. A perspective about how much more dreadful an awful lot of things are than our ego-related feelings. And a perspective about this life. In our operatory song, we're going to hear more wisdom according to Monty Python and my career. One of the verses in it says, "For life is quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your sin, give the audience a grin, enjoy it. It's your last chance anyhow." Now, if you have got past any irritation you might have felt at me for being cavalier about your belief systems, not to mention exhortative about the possible arrogance and respect, and maybe even if you have, and you're going to call me this week. Can you settle yourself into a little private examination of where you've been into this gap bridging, lightening up picture? I invite you to close your eyes, if you wish, and reflect on a few things. How about the disdain spectrum? Do you ever roll your eyes at someone's views, or mentally roll them so hard that everybody knows you're doing it? Can we take a deep breath and quietly aim toward kind hearts? No need to beat ourselves up. Who among us hasn't been impatient and bad-spirited? Just let our hearts go a couple of sizes. Another breath. How about if we are among the indignant oppressed, feeling our belief systems under attack from our own community members? Surely, in this safe place, where we all aspire toward compassion, equity, even love, we can lower the high bar of indignation and start getting over ourselves. Let's loosen up, if humanly possible, our clinging attachment to our philosophies. Let the fate of one of those disagreeers drift through consciousness, and let us allow compassion to touch our hearts. Serious, it's self-examination stuff, but it's like somebody said about life. It's too important to take too seriously. Here we are on this little planet, rocketing along at really fast speeds, in a universe that's bigger than we have any way of approaching, imagining, and we only get a few decades in this place that measures itself in light years. But we have each other. And that is immeasurably important, no matter how insignificant we are in the cosmic scheme. With all our faults, we do the best we can. We are often noble and compassionate and kind-hearted and funny and nice. We don't have to be superior to each other, and we don't have to clutch our ideas defensively to our bosoms. We can find that of God in ourselves and each other, to quote Quaker George Fox. We can recognize the nobility that the classical humanists and all humanists since have found in the human potential. We can stop and laugh at our own little pretensions, not those of our neighbors. We can be generous. We can be understanding. We can bridge our gaps. And we can get over ourselves. May it be.